O Lord, for all that you've done for us, for the blessing of this day, for the rich promises of your mercy that you've allowed us to share in, we humbly say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for grace, for mercy. And every heart said, amen. Just a word of thanks to our Michelangelo ministry for this beautiful mosaic. It simply says, restored. Powerful, isn't it? Beautiful. I asked Faye at our earliest service this morning what we were going to do with that after we got done. And I simply says, if we don't have a place for it, I'll take it. Amen. And then I want to thank Jack and this lovely choir. Thank you so much for singing that song. You've already blessed me today. Actually, we all just sing another verse and we go home. Amen. It's a very special song for my wife and I. We got married, and the song, the choir, sung that song, and every time I hear it, it resonates a very powerful message. So I thank you this morning for your talent. Luke, thank you so much for singing the preacher up and then playing him up. Thank you so much. Broken. Broken. Not bent, but broken. The book of Job, in all of its clarity, depicts a man of great wealth, a man who had money and power and wealth, who had health, had children, a man who understood that sometimes head and heart has to be in sync with one another. Job, a man strong in his faith, a man whose faith roots were so embedded in faith soil that nothing, absolutely nothing, could break his spirit or render him helpless. It seemed like that at times, but you're going to discover at the very end of this narrative that development always comes out of chaos, and that we are able in an instant to see the power, the presence, and the ability of God to take obstacles and turn them into opportunities. Job, a perfect man. Job, who had an ongoing debate between God and Satan. God simply saying to Satan, test him, but don't kill him. Test him, but don't kill him. You're going to discover these few minutes we're together that restoration usually and inevitably leads to resurrection. The power and presence of God moving in such a way that even in the midst of calamities, even in the midst of health issues, even in the midst of poverty, because you're going to see and notice that poverty, Job's poverty, will change to prosperity. Restoration, bringing something back to its original form, unimpaired. You all see that car? There it is. That was my first car. My first car. My dad bought Julius and I, but I claimed it, amen. My dad bought me this car, a 1966 Ford Mustang. Baby blue, white convertible top, had spinners, white wall tires. Oh, that was the bomb, wasn't it? That was cool. My daddy bought me this car. The payments then were $59.76 a month. He made a few, and then it was mine. I took that car. We were living in Oswego at the time. I took that car, changed the spinners into rims, put Pirelli tires on them. Every little ding and scratch on that car, I very intrinsically took a small brush and painted on that baby blue paint. It was immaculate. Dual pipes in the back. A 286. Cool. And I'll never forget that on the weekends I would come home and work on this car. And of course I did. And then when it was time for me to take it to school, yay, I got in that car, let the top down, rolled down the windows as to give me another level of coolness. Took the key and placed it in the ignition, turned it on. The motor started, but there was nothing. Wouldn't turn over. It just wouldn't turn over. And then it suddenly dawned on me. I'd restored this classic Mustang. I'd restored it, tires and from spinners to rims. Everything was done exactly right. It was good, pretty. But it had no gas in it. And after all of my laborious work, decided that I would have to get Daddy's truck to go get some gas to put in it. My brothers and sisters, it looked good on the outside. But there was something missing on the inside. No gas, no petrol. With it being restored, there was nothing to push it forward. Job was like that, a perfect man. looked good outside and inwardly bloomed and blossomed. 7,000 sheep, 500 oxen, 500 donkeys, a family that loved him, 3 sons and 7 daughters, cattle upon 1,000 hills were his. Everything, he had everything a man could have wanted or desired. Everything he had. And then it happened. In the twinkling of an eye, all that he had, he lost it. The beautiful home, the wealth, the health, his children, his wife. His wife would walk through the house and say, "Hey, honey, how you doing, baby?" And occasionally would give him that wink. But not now. Everything had crumbled into dust. And there was Job scurrying about in sackcloth and ash, sores all over his body, with a piece of pottery, scraping his wounds. And his friends come, and they simply say, "Job, you must have done something wrong. What did you do so bad that you're having this heaved upon you?" But Job, in his own way and own perspective, continued to march forward. To march forward. Have you ever been broken? Have you ever felt a sense of being by yourself? Have you ever been up against the wall? Have you ever found yourself in a health dilemma? And you didn't have all the answers to the questions. Have you ever considered the whole notion of waking up at night with tears running down your cheek and gathering on your chin, trying to discover what must I do? You find yourself in broken relationships. Hope is gone. Possibilities have been dashed out of the window. And you find yourself broken and beaten, not having the answers to simplistic questions. Have you ever been broken? Even preachers find themselves sometimes in broken places. Have you ever been broken? I have. I'm a preacher. I know the Lord. I know the word of prayer. I know how powerful it is to feel and to sense the wonderment of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been broken? Brokenness is not a respecter of person. Sooner or later, you're going to find yourself, as did I, find yourself in a state of brokenness. And how do you find your way back? How do you pick up the pieces? How do you move beyond your difficulties and see glimmers of hope? How do you do it? Well, the verses of scripture that I've read for you simply says, depicts Job as a tree. A tree. And if that tree is cut off, if it's cut off, it simply says there is hope, there is restorative power, there is possibility, there are possibilities. God is able to give each one of us. And I think you know that if you cut a tree down, the stump will be there unless you grind it. It can become discolored, brown and black and discolored, but underneath the surface, the roots are still there. Still there. Still there. Nourishing that stump with vital nourishment and nutrients. So, we come today to look beyond our hurt. We come today to look beyond our brokenness. We come today to look beyond the things that beat us down. We come today to look beyond the circumstances that vex us on every side. Whether it's something on your job, whether it's a boss on the job that gives you just pure H-E-L-L. Oh. Amen. God is able. God is able this morning, as we know today from the life of Job, to fix it, to redeem it, to set us free, to give us light in the midst of darkness, to move us beyond our brokenness and see hope and possibilities. Hope and possibilities. When I was coming up, I would always hear this phrase from one of the wise Bible talkers, especially when you found yourself in a very vexing situation. You'd hear this person say to you, "Well, just consider Job." What am I considering when I'm broken? What do I consider when I've gotten bad news from the doctor? What am I considering when the prognosis is not a good place to be in right then? Now, I think you need to know that Faith and I do visiting, and of course, we see every day how God is able to turn things around. Amen. Some of you today in this room, you felt and you've sensed how powerful the prayer, how powerful prayer is for this church, and the miracles and the restorative nature of God moving in this church. A perfect man, busted, sitting around on the floor, debating with his friends, scraping the sores off of his arm with a piece of pottery, trying to find wholeness. Wholeness. Ed, have you ever been there before? Yes. Have you ever found yourself struggling with self? Yes. Have you ever found yourself in a corner and there was no way out? Yes. I'm convinced this morning that in the midst of my brokenness, God is able to fix things. The old song says, "He may not come when you want him, but he always what? Comes on time." And when God comes on time, he restores the nature of us into full restoration. I think that there are three ways, perhaps, we can ease and allow brokenness to evaporate. And that is, the first thing, of course, is that you've got to have a praiseful attitude. Amen. A praiseful attitude. Everybody, each one of us ought to feel something sometime. Amen. Every now and then, everybody ought to feel like God is on my side. God is blessing me. God has taken my burdens, my trials, my tribulations, and he's taken those things, and he's blessed us. So even in my afflictions, he makes me stronger. Even when I find myself groping with the death of a loved one, trying to answer questions that I can't answer. Every now and then we ought to just lift hands and say, Lord, it's in your hands, not mine. Because guess what? I ain't what I ought to be, but I'm glad I'm not what I used to be. And I used to be, ooh-wee. See that little blue car? So God's been good to me. He's taken my bruised spirit, my beaten spirit, restored this nature of mine, and I can stand up today, wave my hands, and simply say thank you. When I'm sick, I say thank you. When I'm busted, I say thank you. When I'm unemployed, I say thank you. Because somewhere down the line, God is going to answer your prayers. He's going to give you exactly what you stand in need of. The melody of God's love and the harmony of his voice speaks very clear to each of us as we find praise in our hearts. So, on your way home today, and somebody cuts you off, and you're inclined to wave at them, you thank God and praise God for that. Amen. When you get to your jobs tomorrow, and there's an honorary old supervisor, a boss that's giving you havoc all day long, you just step aside, get into your little praise space, and allow the goodness, oh, thanks be to God, to fall afresh upon you. And then secondly, to move beyond that state of brokenness into a state of wholeness, you've got to have the correct faith posture. What's your faith posture? What is it that keeps you standing tall? What is it? Every little thing disturbs us, and we find ourselves not like this, with shoulders back, with heart regulated, beating silently within our bodies. We find ourselves, when things are good and they're coming up rosy, we're like this, but just let the storm clouds gather and our posture changes. Sickness can cause your faith posture to change. Circumstances will cause your faith posture to stand. So what's our posture? My posture has always been to lean forward. He says, I move towards the mark of what? The high calling, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. move towards the mark of the high calling. You don't have an opportunity to choose and pick your faith. Faith is not some act of bravado. Faith is our ability to weather the storm, because the storms will certainly come. And then finally, we need to acknowledge, if we are going to move beyond the brokenness stage, we need to acknowledge who God is and what God can do for us. What has God done for you lately? Has he blessed you? You got up this morning, right? Amen? Has he blessed you? Started you on your way? Gave you food to eat and water to drink? Gave you a family? Gave this family, this small child, to be baptized today? Isn't he good? Isn't God good? Actually, he's better than good. He's better than good. He's better than good. He continuously gives us strength. He's excellent, omnipotent, omnipresent. This little old lady didn't have much education, but she knew the Lord. And this scholar came up to her and said, "Ma'am, you say that God is excellent." And the little old lady said, "Yes, he is." She said, "Well, spell it." And the little old lady said, "I may not can spell it, but I can feel it on the inside. God is excellent." And each one of us ought to have inside information. So denoting that characteristic, a little boy left home one day and went into an apple orchard and ate a bunch of green apples, made his way back home. And once he got home, the little boy said to his mother, "Mama, I got a stomachache." "What did you eat, son?" "I ate all of those green apples." She said, "Well, how do you know your stomach is aching?" She says, the little boy says, "I got inside information." My brothers and sisters, we've got inside information this morning that God is good, better to us than we are to ourselves. God is good in that when we find ourselves devoid of feeling, when we find ourselves bent, broken, we're not broken. We may be bent, but we aren't broken, because God is a fixer. God is a regulator. God stamps us and gives to us the things that we need. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. But guess what? Jesus can. Jesus can. Jesus can take the broken pieces of your life, turn it into a beautiful mosaic, turn it into something powerful and impacting. "Yes, I'm restored. I've been changed. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And because of that, there's a home for me. A beautiful place. A home." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.